Good afternoon and welcome to EverBank Game Day Live. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Lagerman here at NRG Stadium in Houston. And this is about as busy, as active as we've ever seen this stadium. People in Houston are excited about a team that's going to win the AFC South, in all likelihood, win or lose today.
Yeah, and I don't know how many times that we've almost been run over here on the sideline. It's extremely packed. The city of Houston's very excited about their football team, as they should be. In the last eight games, they've won six ball games, and with a win today, they assure themselves the AFC South and also a spot in the playoffs, which is a very exciting time. Wish this were the Jaguars, though. You kind of go back and you talk about what ifs.
Oh, there's just too many of those. What if Myers makes the kick in Houston? What if the Jaguars, or sorry, in Indy? What if the Jaguars, you know, keep their fourth quarter lead against Houston in October in Jacksonville? What if you score 39 points and you win in Nashville?
You had them all ready to roll right off the tip.
Well, I've been thinking about them for a while.
But I understand that, and that's the way it is. And the Houston Texans are heading to the playoffs and really kind of healthy. You know, the reason they've been playing so well, though, in Houston, it's about their defense. Their defense playing at an extremely high level. And it took that game against the Miami Dolphins where they were almost embarrassed to where they came back and have been playing exceptionally well. In the last eight games, Houston is only allowing 13.5 points a game. And they went one stretch over the last two games where they went five quarters without giving up a point. And that's during a stretch where J.J. Watt was playing with a cast on his hand, and he is expected to play today without a cast.
And
could be even more effective.
He will not face the Jaguars' high-dollar free agent right tackle, Jeremy Parnell, who's down with a hamstring he suffered last week in New Orleans. How do the Jaguars defend him, and how does that affect their entire game plan?
Well, I think first and foremost, you're going to provide Sam Young, who's going to get the start at right tackle, with a little bit of help. And I think the one good thing is I think they expected Jeremy Parnell to be out all week long. Now, they said that it was going to go up until game time, but I think that they knew Parnell had a hamstring on the two-point conversion that failed in New Orleans. Sam Young, though, in the past games, and he's played against J.J. Watt in the past, played very well against J.J. Watt. But he did it when he was expecting to be the starter. This week, I think he was expecting to be the starter. I expect Sam to play well.
We could talk about J.J. Watt the entire time we're on the air here on Jaguars.com, and the fact that Jadeveon Clowney will miss the fourth game he could have played against the Jaguars, since being the first overall pick in last year's draft. But there is a guy who doesn't get a lot of attention, and that's Whitney Mercilus, the Jaguars liked a lot when he came out a few years ago.
Yeah, the University of Illinois, tremendous player. He's having a career year, 8.5 sacks, and I remember watching the film on him the first matchup back in October. I was not impressed. But since then, he has certainly turned it up. He is relentless, but it also helps having J.J. Watt being the creator up front for this Houston Texans defense. But you also have to give some credit to the back end. They've made a few changes in their secondary, mainly at the safety spot, and they've gotten better production out of the coverage. Rushing cover, rushing cover. You always hear us talk about that. They've got to work hand-in-hand, and it's worked hand-in-hand very well here in Houston over the last eight games.
All right, so let's flip the script. The Jaguars' defense has to play better. Now, most people say, well, how can they? They've got to get new players. They may have to change the scheme a little bit. But they can play better today, it would seem, just by tackling.
Well, one good thing is that Arian Foster is not going to play. He's on injured reserve. He had a knee injury. The Houston Texans have been doing a lot of running by getting creative. They've run the read option. They've run the wildcat. So they're trying to find creative ways to run the football. And it's worked for the most part. But the Houston Texans end up getting their quarterback back from the NFL concussion protocol, Brian Hoyer. He's got over a 90 rating. And he's really a journeyman quarterback, but he's played very well for them. But much like every week, the Houston Texans look to run the football to take the pressure off the passing game. But when they throw it, you know, five different quarterbacks this year for the Houston Texans. DeAndre Hopkins, their young wide receiver in his third year. He is a phenomenal football player. Phenomenal football player.
Is there any way the Jaguars can shut down Brian Hoyer with their pass rush today?
No.
Okay. Well, there you go.
No.
Thanks, Jeff.
No.
Have a good afternoon.
They just can't do it. They're not good enough up front. They've got to be able to get better coverage. And I would not be surprised if they tweaked a little bit of their coverage units in today's game to try to get better coverage so that they can get home.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for joining
us.
Thank you, Brian. Long. Appreciate it. Time to ring in the fine senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Osher.
Christmas jacket, right?
It does look nice.
It is. Thank you.
It really does.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Sherry. You chose well. All right. Not that she's watching or anything.
No, no. Trust me.
Probably not. Big news this week. Everyone's talking about Shad Khan's vote of confidence for Gus Bradley. Is there going to be a vote of confidence for Bob Babich, or is this going to be one of those scenarios where we're going to be looking for a change on that side of the ball?
Well, the vibe among the fans and observers seems to be that Bob Babich has to go. I'm not a big have to change the coordinator because of a bad season guy. I keep thinking back, this time last year, everybody and their brother wanted Mike Mallory out. Oh, it's awful, all the mistakes on special teams, and nobody talked about Bob Babich. Now, a year later, nobody's talking about Mike Mallory because Rashad Greene had a big year and they got better on special teams. And everybody wants Bob Babich out because of, you know, are those guys different coaches than they were a year ago?
No.
So, but usually how it works, when you have a season like this, there's change. So we'll see in the next couple of days. You get the idea there will be, but it's hard to say because Gus really doesn't play his hand a whole lot on that, doesn't give many hints. And last year this time, we weren't really thinking that Jed Fish was necessarily out. So I think the next couple of days, they'll have their conversations, they'll look at it, and they'll try to figure it out.
You know, I can't help but think.
They meaning Gus.
Absolutely.
Right.
You talked about players. They got Rashad Greene. He helped elevate
yep.
everything. Jason Myers struggled in extra points but got better as the season went
right.
along.
Players help.
His touchbacks, right.
Yep.
Okay, well, last week, no Dante Fowler, no Jared Odrick, no Sendarek Marks, no Telvin Smith. And you didn't even have a young safety you were hoping would be competing in James Sample.
Right.
They tried to fix the defense last offseason. None of those guys were able to help them at the second end of this season, the second half of it.
And if you're talking about the defense, one thing to bear in mind, you can say all you want, they didn't adjust, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. As bad as the front four has been getting to the passer, they're not last in the league in sacks. They've created pressure, they've blitzed, they've tried to be creative. But the bottom line is when you can't get to the quarterback with your base package, it leaves you exposed in the back end. And that's really what's hurt them more often than not. I'm not saying that makes Bob Babich safe, but I don't think this is a situation where you can just point to it and say, it's coaching. It's usually not just that, although that's usually who takes the fall.
Jaguars did not start fast last week against one of the worst defenses in the NFL in New Orleans. It would seem like a fast start would be necessary, but pretty difficult and challenging against one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Well, it's especially necessary because you're in the last game of the season. If you don't get up early, then there is that tendency of, you know, what's going on here? We're not in the playoffs. More than that, if you let the Texans get up, then they start sensing they can close this thing out. They're playing for the playoffs. They have motivation. That's the biggest reason this is a tough matchup. If both of these teams were playing for something, then I would say this is a very close matchup. Usually in the NFL, when one team is playing for the carrot that is the playoffs, the other team's not, it makes for a tough matchup, especially on the road. You know, I probably feel less good about this game than I have any game this season just because history tells you those elements matter. Fast start, though, all of a sudden changes everything because then, as you say, all of a sudden they start feeling it, they start believing it. But we haven't seen a fast start from this team at all this season.
Second quarter in
right.
London against Buffalo.
Right.
And that was primarily defense.
Right. And that's something that at some point they have to get that fixed going into next season. You can't perpetually be behind the eight ball in this league and expect to win.
Blake Bortles probably ends today with all the passing records for a single season for a Jaguars quarterback. What do you make of those? I mean, it's impressive what he's done this year.
Right.
Are records just meant to fall, especially passing records in today's NFL?
I say it like this. You were there in 96 when Brunell set all the records, especially the yardage records, that Blake has a chance to break. Well, those stats that season didn't mean that much because the Jaguars were playing from behind a lot and had to throw. Very similar to this year. So what I consider important for Blake this year isn't necessarily the numbers, although it'll be great for us. We can talk it all off season and say, yeah, here are some tangible ways that they improve. But the big thing is the eye test. We've seen this guy grow up. September, you didn't get the idea that he was necessarily a lockdown, solid franchise guy. By December, we have a much better feel that he is. More than numbers, that's what matters for Blake Bortles this year. You've seen it. I've seen it. If you believe that going forward, he could have thrown for 2,500 yards. He's fine this offseason.
You know, it seems as if the offseason last year when Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns both stayed and worked extensively, mm-hmm. both in California and in Jacksonville,
right.
With Blake, it's that much more important for Julius Thomas, for Marquise Lee, and for Rashad Greene, Neil Sterling, for those guys, for this offense, it would seem to be a pivotal offseason for them to be able to come out and pick up where they left off next year or even take it a step higher.
Well, and I think you'll see that because of the benefit the two guys saw from working with Blake. Julius Thomas has already talked about it. All of the things that you can pick up. He's now got a year working with Blake, I think especially of Julius. He's now got a year working with Blake where they have a body of work where when they go to work in the offseason, they can say, hey, remember this. Remember this that happened. Remember this route that started working late. Well, let's add to this. Let's get some more chemistry and continuity. That's only going to grow. I think also for Blake Bortles, a big key for him this offseason, must get better at the short passing game, must get more accurate, because the accuracy thing, I think, is what's causing them to be in so many third and longs. They have to run the ball better and be better at the more efficient plays in order to have this offense grow to where we all think it can grow to.
All right, and that'll do it for our final Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. Anything else to say?
Go Jags. No, good season, and they're closer to where they want to be. Can't say it's a satisfying season, but I think they've made progress.
All right, and we'll wrap it up on that. Follow John all day long on Twitter. Of course, we'll have all the coverage live in the post game with Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles press conferences and the best coverage all evening long. Have a great day. Enjoy the game, everybody.